from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Pirates lose again last night. That's now 9 in a row as they cement themselves in last place in the NL Central. Derek Shelton was on our airwaves yesterday talking to Joe Starkey, and it's a difficult conversation when you've lost this many games in a row, when the expectations were to make the playoffs and when you added at the deadline. Have they won since the deadline? Now to think about it?
One game, maybe.
Oh, my God. So we'll get into that in a moment. I'm going to look at the schedule and see. I don't think they've won more than one. I think it's either one or zero since the trade deadline, which is unfathomable. Is that how you say that word? Unfathomable? No?
Unfathomable.
Thank you, Callis. That's that Waynesburg education. Edumacation. So we'll let you hear the end of that conversation between Starkey and Shelton, and we will react to it. Yes, Dorn?
They won one game.
Oh, yeah, baby. One victory since the deadline. Now, I did see that Jazz Chisholm has a UCL injury, so he might be out for the entire season now.
Oh, wow.
I think I still might rather have him than...
He slid into home, so it wasn't like a natural thing.
Right.
He slid into home and collided with the catcher, so...
Well, we know that wouldn't happen in Pittsburgh because nobody gets near home plate.
Wow.
Nobody scores runs. So we'll let you hear the end of the Shelty Starkey interview, and then we'll react to it coming up in a few moments. But one last thing here on Aiyuk, briefly. I just don't want to see Steelers fans do the thing. And what I mean by the thing is, if he signs back with San Francisco, I don't want to see Steelers fans going, well, we didn't need him anyway. We didn't need Brandon. He's not really that good. He's not worth $28 million. Look it, you can't do that. You can't do that. They are telegraphing to the world that they need another wide receiver. They are telegraphing to the world that they would pay him, willing to pay him, and give up draft picks. I don't want to hear anybody say he stinks. I don't want anybody to say they don't need him. Because if you really felt that way, then Aiyuk Watch wouldn't have had legs. Aiyuk Watch right. Wouldn't have been this thing that is captivated our entire town and Twittered them and all of Steelers Nation. How many tweets have we seen? Oh, all I do is refresh, waiting for Brandon Aiyuk news. I don't want to see any of those people say we didn't need him. That's all I'm saying. And one more thing. Juju's not getting anybody excited around here. We've talked about that yesterday. We talked about that today. Can I interest you, Doran, in a Hunter Renfrow who is still out there?
Hunter Renfrow is a slot player. I think they're very interested in having that position be held down by Calvin Austin. Hunter Renfrow can't play Z. I mean, he could play Z, but he's not a Z receiver. He's not an outside receiver.
You get pushed around, right?
Yeah, right. You already have guys that could do that. At first, I liked him. Like, I think
in you the talked about him last year too.
Last year too, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
going
a good safety blanket for quarterbacks.
I mean, I think he's a better player than Scotty Miller. I don't really know what happened with him. A couple of years ago, he was really good.
He
scored touchdowns.
Too.
He got paid.
Right.
I don't know what happened there, but he would represent a redundancy, as you mentioned, with Calvin Austin III, who I'm sure they have bigger plans for this year than Matt Canada did last year. And then you can't forget about Roman Wilson. At some point when he's ready, healthy, able, they're going to utilize him a lot in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he doesn't do it for me either. Are you ready to hear this cringeworthy ending to the Shelty Starkey conversation?
Give it to me.
Have you heard this yet?
I don't think so.
Buckle up.
Uh-oh.
Shelty, this question I ask respectfully, we've talked about this before, but things are going so poorly now that people wonder, and I wonder, if you feel like you're managing for your job the rest of this season.
No, in terms of managing for my job, no, I don't feel that, you know, any more so today than I did earlier in the year. I think anybody that's in this position always feels that. So, no, I'm focused on winning games and making sure that we continue to play good baseball.
Did you get any sort of ultimatum before the year from Bob Dunning that this had to be a winning season?
Yeah, you know I'm not going to answer that question. You know we don't talk about what we talk about in-house.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, Shelty, good luck tonight, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, see ya.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Not even a goodbye.
That's tough.
It is tough, and I understand it from Shelton's perspective. He can't be happy right now. Of course not. Of course you're not happy with a 9-game losing streak when 9 games ago you are in the thick of the wild card race. And optimism was in the air, and you add 3 players to your major league roster, and you got to feel like you have the backing of the front office, and you really feel like your rotation's in a good place. And at that point, and it's not that long ago, you felt like your bullpen was in a good place. I know I was saying right before the deadline, they have to feel great about their bullpen, and all the wheels come off. I don't blame Shelton for that, for David Bednar not living up to his expectations, the lofty ones that he set the last few years. I don't blame necessarily Derek Shelton for Colin Holderman falling apart. And at least at the beginning portion of this losing streak, those were the 2 biggest culprits, I think. So you're not going to be in a good mood. And Starkey, to his credit, knew that going in. He knew that that was going to be tough, so he left that to be the last question. And he did a great job. I don't blame Shelty for feeling the way that he feels. I thought the final question was an excellent one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel pressure? And Shelty basically said no more than at the beginning of the year. And what Starkey's getting at with the final question, did you have a conversation with Bob Nutting about expectations? He's asking without asking, have you met, are you anywhere near those expectations? And of course, Derek Shelton didn't answer the question. I'm wondering when Shelton answers and says, I don't feel any different now in terms of pressure than I did at the beginning of the year, if that means he got some assurances that no matter what happens, he's going to be back next year. Or if it's just, I feel like I'm managing for my job every time I go out there.
Every game.
Right?
It's probably more of that,
I would
think. Like, the pressure of having to win and being told that from the up top that the window is now, we got to make things happen now, and then in the middle, where the GM's at, it's like, okay, here's what you have to work with. And then putting that all together and being like, okay, like I gotta work with this and I gotta win.
Yeah.
Like every game. And I gotta figure it out.
Yeah. I think there's probably pressure at the beginning of the year to be better than last year, which now I don't think that they're on pace to do. And then there's the added pressure of Bob Nutting's comments. 100% our goal is to make the playoffs. The added pressure of adding at the deadline, and they have lost their season in a week and a half.
I think that the biggest pressure moment for Derek Shelton, and you can work with it for a little while, but then your true colors come out once it just gets a little bit more engraved and you have to keep up with the Joneses, is whenever Skeens came up. Because you can hide warts whenever you're the Pirates because you're just the Pirates. But whenever Skeens came up, there were so many eyes on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it is so hard to hide the negative things that could possibly happen on a day-to-day basis within a game and within, you know, that chunk of a season if you're Derek Shelton that you've never had to deal with before. Like, that was a big moment. He, all-star. I mean, big-time pitcher. Everybody is watching you. I think that that's when, whenever the pressure ramped up, and not mismanaging him too, that you kind of lose sight of everything else. And whenever you lose sight of everything else and you're kind of focused on not mismanaging your star player and everybody's watching, everything is exposed. And then the whole pressure just falls right on your shoulders and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed.
The Pirates were one of the talks the All-Star break, to your point. Because of Paul Skeens, because they were at 500.
He's never had to handle that before.
He has not even come close to having to handle that before. Last year, you start off 20-8, and it's cute on MLB Network, and they're like, oh, are the Pirates for real? And then a month later, they're not for real, and they don't talk about the Pirates at all. Not until they draft Paul Skeens. That was it. That's all the attention. That's the most attention he'd ever gotten.
Yep.
And this year, you're right. Skeens comes up. All of a sudden, you're, what, five games over 500 with Skeens leading into the All-Star break. You go into the All-Star break, he's the starting pitcher, and you are at 500. You're a real contender, and the question is, are they going to buy? And if they buy, they're going to get in. And if they get in, what can they do? How many national media members, how many big-time baseball knowers were saying, you don't want to face the Pirates in the postseason? I don't know, man, how, if this thing continues to spiral, how you can bring him back. Like, what if you lose 14 games in a row? What if you lose 15 games in a row? How can, with all of what we've just talked about and all of the accrued expectations, can you have a losing streak that rivals White Sox-ness and say, oh, we're going to bring this guy back next year? And it might not all be his fault. Reasonable people can have disagreements on that. Is it more on the general manager? Is it more player-driven? Is it more on the manager? It's probably a little column A, B, and C. But 15 games in a row, if it were to get there, is 15 games in a row. 9 games is already too much in a row. 5 games in the pennant race in a row, too much.
Too much.
You stretch it to that number, I don't know how you can make an argument to keep that guy, even if it's not all his fault. 412-928-9370. How did you hear, listeners, that final answer by, or the penultimate answer from Derek Shelton? Did you hear it as he feels like he's been managing for his job all year long? Or did you hear it as he's been given an assurance that he'll be back next year? 412-928-9370. You can call us on that fan hotline, which is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can hit us up on that text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Texters have been giving us another wide receiver, too, that I want to run by you. So we'll do that coming up next. We'll talk to the people about Shelty. And a reason why this season doesn't really feel like 2012.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
To me, I put up a Twitter poll yesterday, Doran, asking which collapse hurt Pirates fans the most: 2011, 2012, this one that's ongoing right now. I omitted last year's because they were only good for a month. I don't know that it was a collapse, but a different level of collapse. I want to get into why this doesn't exactly feel like 2012 to me. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll see if you agree, but. Since the Brandon Ayuk watch is maybe looking dire now, according to reports, we've been poking around for other receivers that may interest the Steelers, and one that keeps popping up on the text line is Michael Thomas, who is out there. Does that do anything for you?
No. No.
He hasn't been healthy. He hasn't played a full season, I'll phrase it that way, since 2019.
Huh. 5 years ago?
It's 2024. last year not bad in the time that he played. So he played 10 games and had 448 yards, 39 catches, but he just hasn't stayed healthy. The year before that, he played 3 games. The year before that, he played 0 games. The year before that, he played 7 games. So he's played 20 games the last 4 years. So you'd be taking a flyer. You wouldn't be paying him more than league minimum. I don't think that there's an upgrade there, but I don't know, man. Like, this is where we turn.
Right.
You either get Brandon Ayuk, you might flirt with CeeDee Lamb. That seems highly, 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 highly unlikely. There's not enough highlies I can throw in there. So now you start kicking the tires on guys like Michael Thomas and Juju Smith-Schuster and Hunter Renfrow, and it's not good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if they don't get this done, they're just going to have to live with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it's going to come down to. I don't think they'll get any other receiver unless somebody gets released, which if there's any quality receivers out there getting released, like if you're a quality receiver, you're not getting released.
No.
It's looking more and more like that. They're just going to live with it.
And if there were a trade to be made, the 49ers would have accepted the Ayuk deal and made the trade to bring in one of the available wide receivers, because that's been the scuttlebutt, that they would like a player in return. The Steelers aren't giving a player in return, and so they're poking around looking for a wide receiver. Well, they haven't found one. So it kind of means that the Steelers are SOL. They wouldn't be able to find one. I'll tell you, a guy that I am feeling better about, though, man, is George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
We go way back to, week one of training camp, and you were breaking it down good on the two-minute drive where...
Yeah, he's in the bunch set.
Yeah, in the bunch set, Justin Fields finds him in the back of the end zone. He makes a nice acrobatic catch, and it kind of pointed out how Arthur Smith is going to be able to utilize him this year. It's not going to be one-trick pony. It's not going to be just slants and deep shots down the field when you're playing out on the boundary. No, he's going to be creative. And I thought we saw a little bit of that in the preseason game, too. Not necessarily in being creative, but catch the ball, run after the catch from George Pickens.
Get the ball different ways.
Yes. So I am at least bullish on him. Would feel a lot better about it, obviously, though, if they had Brandon Ayuk. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So the Pirates collapsed in 2012. We all know this. And their record at this point was better than this Pirates team. Their record at their apex was way better than this Pirates team at their apex, where they got three games over 500. This year's team did right around the deadline. That team was like 15 games over 500. A reason why I can't liken this to 2012 is because even when they collapsed in 2012, I try to put myself in my headspace back then. I thought 2013 could be a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Andrew McCutchen in 2012 hit 327 with 31 bombs. Pedro Alvarez, your third baseman, hit 30 bombs. Neil Walker, your second baseman, hit 280. You had that core, and Brian Reynolds is a wonderful player. And O'Neill Cruz is an incredibly talented player at the plate. Who's your third guy in your core? And I don't think that I feel as good about O'Neill now as I did about Pedro Alvarez then.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't feel as good now about Brian Reynolds as you did Andrew McCutchen then. Who's the third guy?
Don't know.
Who's that Neil Walker? Who's the third piece? Their position players are crap.
Gonzalez, maybe?
Nick Gonzalez with 65 games in an OPS under 700 ain't what Neil Walker was. Neil Walker had a 342 OBP and a 768 OPS. Neil Walker was light years ahead of Nick Gonzalez. Doesn't mean you can't be excited about Nick. And both guys do have that clutch gene. Like that, Neil Walker with runners in scoring position was money, as has been Nick Gonzalez. But where's the third guy? Where are the position players to get excited about? The Pirates had Garrett Jones, their first baseman, hit 27 homers that year.
Wow. You're riding these off, and it's just mind-boggling.
Where's the wave of prospects? Do we have to get excited about Nick York and Billy Cook? Because that team also had Starling Marte on the come-up. So there's five guys you thought good about going into the next year. What do they got? Two guys plus Andrew McCutchen, who may or may not want to come back. Shelton was asked about him yesterday.
He's 37.
He's 37 years old. He's got the knees of me. So, you know, 2012, a lot of people voted that that was the worst collapse on the Twitter poll yesterday because it hurt, because you thought no way it could happen again. It happened in 2011. But you could look ahead and think Gerrit Cole's going to be added to our rotation. Now, you've already got your rotation in place for next year, and there's some reason for optimism there. But you were going to add Gerrit Cole, and you had position players. And you knew that Gregory Polanco was going to be coming down the pike. And he didn't really pan out. But at the time, you were excited about him. I'm not excited about anybody. I can't get excited about what Henry Davis is doing in AAA right now. So, at worst, this was supposed to be the year where you jump on that trampoline and it was going to set you up to next year be good.
Mm-hmm.
From a position player standpoint, I'm not seeing it.
No.
Sawinski, Henry Davis were supposed to be part of that. Key Brian Hayes was supposed to be part of that. I don't believe in any of them. You leave the door open, I suppose, for Henry Davis. But, man, it shouldn't be bleak, but it's bleak.
Yes.
And the only way you fix the lack of position talent is because you're not going to have to spend money on starting pitching. You go spend money on hitters and... I mean, tell me if you disagree. I don't really feel all that optimistic they're going to spend the requisite amount of money to do it.
Nope.
Texter, if I may, Norm. Adam doesn't know baseball. He wasn't talking like this 2 weeks ago. Nobody was. They've lost 9 straight games.
Right.
For a week and a half, they haven't won a baseball game. They've won one baseball game since the trade deadline. Things changed. I wasn't the only person who was optimistic when they were 3 games over 500. They beat the Phillies coming out of the break. They were handling, they went on the road and took 2 out of 3 from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Their bullpen was in a good spot. Their rotation was what their rotation's been all year long. Nobody was talking like that. So I guess nobody knows baseball then. That kind of crap, this revisionist history thing, drives me nuts. A week ago, when Derek Shelton's on with Shelty, the conversation's different. 2 weeks ago, the conversation is, you guys are in the thick of the playoff race.
Yes.
So forgive me for not predicting the 9-game losing streak.
I forgive you.
Thank you. And that's really all that matters. Here's one more tweet from Deb. Hi, Deb. What about Andy Rodriguez? I am excited about the return of Andy Rodriguez, but to believe that we know what he's going to be, I think you're just hoping, right?
Yeah, he's coming off an injury, and he didn't do, I mean, he didn't light the world on fire last year.
Correct.
He was healthy.
And Shelton makes a really good point yesterday with Starkey. He said, people take this for granted, but when you're talking about Tommy John surgery, no one throws a ball more than the catcher. And he said, you know, they're not throwing it hard, but you're throwing it back to the pitcher after every pitch, and it's the motion, and that's not going to be easy on a guy's elbow. So I can't get super excited for that either. All right, very good. We've got the great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined coming up at the end of the hour. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin and this quarterback situation. It's not just Ayuk. There's other drama a-brewing in the AFC North, and we'll talk to you about that coming up in the next segment, the great unsponsored football segment that does have a sponsor coming shortly. Very excited about that. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of NFL stuff going on right now, so we'll get into that. I was thinking yesterday, I teased this and never got to it, which is a cardinal sin, and I didn't remember until I was driving home yesterday. But Fields, Russ Wilson, Tomlin, if there's one thing about Tomlin that I said before that we don't know about, it's managing quarterbacks. We really do, though. We really do. Like, I think back to 2019. First time he ever went through it was when Ben messed up his elbow against Seattle. And just bear with me for a second here. So Mason Rudolph comes into that game, they lose. Mason Rudolph, again, against San Francisco, they lose. Then enter Minka Fitzpatrick. Things start to change a little bit. So Rudolph beats Cincinnati, loses in overtime to Baltimore, and that's when he gets broken. He gets his head caved in by Earl Thomas. Following game, you go out to Los Angeles, and by the grace of God, you win with Duck Hodges at quarterback. But after the bye, it's Rudolph again, and you win three straight games. You lose one game, and he played terribly against Cleveland, but he also got bopped over the head. The next game against Cincinnati, Mike Tomlin turns to Devlin Hodges. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It didn't make sense to me, I remember, at the time. And it still, to this day, doesn't make any sense to me. Now, you win three straight with Devlin, but he did not play good in any of those games. And then he throws four interceptions against Buffalo because he's Devlin Hodges. You go back to Rudolph, then you go back to Hodges, and he gets hurt against New York. I just don't think Mike Tomlin handled that well. I think he butchered the whole Kenny Pickett situation from the start. I think last season he butchered it by not going to Mason Rudolph as the backup instead of Mitch Trubisky. So while it is going to be Russ in all likelihood this year, I don't think anybody should default to, well, it's going to be Russ, and Mike Tomlin is making that decision, and Mike Tomlin knows what he's doing. I'm not so sure with quarterback.
He needs a veteran quarterback, obviously, with Ben for all those years. He needs a veteran quarterback. Even the backup quarterbacks back then were, you know, Charlie Batch was a veteran quarterback that you could turn to, that he knows that could run the offense, can take a lot of things off his plate and not have to develop, not have to, you know, keep his eye out or hold his hand. That's what Mike Tomlin needs, and that's why I do think at the end of the day, that's why Russell Wilson, he sold the Steelers on Russell Wilson, because he knew that Russell Wilson may be older, may not be the old Russell Wilson, but he knows that he's not going to have to worry about Russell Wilson doing the things necessary that are in his mind to run an offense.
Yeah.
And how he wants to approach things.
Oh, there's got to be such a trust factor there.
Yes.
With him and with Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I should have framed it differently. What I'm most concerned about is in season, pulling the plug too early on Russ, or things like that. Like, if Russ stays healthy, going quickly to Justin Fields, I don't know that Mike Tomlin has the right temperature on stuff like that. And you don't have to look too far in the rearview mirror to remember Kenny Pickett's debut.
Mm-hmm.
Got zero first-team reps. High. Second half, let's go in against the Jets, and he throws three picks, and then the next game is on the road against Buffalo. Like, that was not the best chance, the best time to insert Kenny Pickett, and so I do wonder and worry about that a little bit. Like, this is, even though you're going to have trust in Russ, even though I believe Russ is going to have a good year, I don't know if day one against Atlanta, you're getting the best version of Russ Wilson. I think it's still going to take time in season to get to the apex of Russ Wilson, if that makes sense.
Like, best version, you mean like explosive version, like scoring a bunch of points? Because I don't think that Russ Wilson has lost his touch of just running an offense smoothly. Like, it may not look like an explosive offense right off the bat, like deep shots, things of that nature, crossing routes and things of that. But I think he knows where to go with a ball that will inch his way down the field and may not look sexy, but he's going to know where to put the ball and keep the ball out of harm's way.
I guess what I'm saying is...
better than Kenny did.
Oh, no question. And better than Rudolph, better than any quarterback since Ben. I just think Tomlin needs to be patient. He needs to be patient.
I think he will.
Because I believe one preseason game. I think Russ is going to give this team the better chance to win this year. And if they lose games not because of Russ, don't be too quick to act.
Well, we talked about when Tomlin was somewhat at his best of delegating responsibilities, delegating to LeBeau, delegating to Todd Haley, delegating to, you know, the offense coordinators that he trusts. I think that the whole patient conversation we're having right now is out of his hands.
He's going to rely on the coordinator.
Yeah, he's going to. It's going to be Arthur Smith's decision, and Mike Tomlin will probably and kind of just be like, "All right, well, it's up. What are you feeling?" I think he's going to be. I don't think he wants to be like that, but I think that it was probably a little sit down meeting at the end of the season where, if we hire this guy, Arthur Smith, who was a former head coach, this is how things are going to go, and this is how we're going to operate. And you either fall in line or, and I don't think it got to that point because obviously they, you know, extended him. They love Mike Tomlin, Art does. But I think that it was established that Arthur Smith will make a lot of the calls whenever it comes to the offense.
Yeah, Coach T, get your head out of the offense.
Yep.
Get your head out of the offense.
It's
not your thing. That's fine. It doesn't have to be your thing. Hire someone that's their thing.
Yep.
That commands respect and knows what they're doing. That got hired because they were a good OC. I got to reframe this again for the third time because I think I've done a bad job here.
But also, Arthur Smith had that issue last year. With Mariota, Desmond Ritter.
But the difference to me is I don't know that there was a right answer there. I think all answers were bad.
Right.
Like me in math in like seventh grade. Like every answer, wrong answer, you don't have a place to turn. Whereas last year, as we found out, Mason Rudolph was the right answer. And they got to it very late. And ultimately, it did get them into the playoffs. My concern is more rooted in what it would do to Justin Fields, I should say.
If they go to him too early?
Yes. Not so much early in season, but you're trying to find out if this guy can be a guy. And maybe this goes into that. He's a veteran, whereas Kenny was a rookie. But I don't want to see game three. Oh, no. For whatever reason, you're 0-2, game three. All right, second half, Justin Fields, you're in. Now I think your season's on the brink.
Oh, yeah.
On the brink.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you pull that plug... Justin better do it or else you are screwed.
Done.
And that let's revisit this because I did it backwards. That's the first thing I should have said. Bad radio on my part. And this bad radio coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. They don't have bad coverage at all. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how. At tmobile.com/switch. We've got the unsponsored football segment next. I want to revisit that Tomlin quarterback conversation coming up after Ray Fittipaldo, and Ray's going to join us at 8 o'clock. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's the great unsponsored football segment, Doran, and there's a lot to squeeze in here. First of all, trouble a-brewing, perhaps, in the AFC North as Ja'Marr Chase did not show up to practice yesterday, and Zach Taylor really swept it under the rug. He said, Ja'Marr Chase, day-to-day, not going to talk about it. If it was an injury, he would say he's day-to-day, he's dealing with a nagging something or other. We are led to believe that this is a contract dispute, I think.
Yes, yes. Another one. I mean, T. Higgins, he probably saw this coming, but... You know, having this happen right now is not ideal for somebody like Joe Burrow, who missed half of the season last year and trying to get on the same page with everybody. We talk about that a lot.
Yes.
With quarterbacks, and you don't want this lingering and hanging over your team as you're looking to get back to what you've been in the last couple of years, which was a real contender.
A real contender that has given the Chiefs problems. They will play the Chiefs in week number two. That's a situation that bears monitoring. There's a ton of pressure on them and Joe Burrow this year because... T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Aiden Hutchinson, all three of those guys aren't going to be back next year.
Uh-huh.
They're just not. And so Joe needs to stay healthy, and they need to take advantage of this season because Rome crumbles real quick after that. Did you see what Jerod Mayo said? Jerod Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots.
About fighting?
Yes.
Yes.
That if you are a starter and you fight in the joint practice, you have to then play the entire preseason game. If you are a backup and you fight during preseason joint practice, then you are not playing in the preseason game at all. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's not good business. It's not good business. I like the thought, the old school kind of mentality of, you know, slapping down rules. But it's hard to slap down rules for NFL players, and he knows that better than anybody because he played 10-plus years in the league. If you play your starters the whole preseason game, you risk injury, and then you lose guys that you need this year. And if you don't play guys in the preseason game that need roster spots, you don't know anything about guys. Like, I think he said that, but I don't know how much he would really enforce it.
I would hope he would enforce it, because if not, now it's like my parenting style. Well, if you do this, you don't get dessert. And then they don't do it. And, Daddy, okay, fine, here's an ice cream cone. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. And I would imagine that actually lands on the New England Patriots players. But, okay, sometimes you got to defend yourself. Like, what happens is if your quarterback gets hit, someone gets slapped upside the head, now you just walk away? So I don't think he did himself any favors here.
I think he probably went back into the auditorium room where you have your team meeting and was like, if you throw a punch, that's what I'm saying. But fighting and scuffling, okay, it's football, but do not throw a punch at a helmet and break your hand.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
And we all know that's stupid.
So really spell it out. Like,
yes. Here's, like, you better not raise your hand to throw a punch at a face mask.
Kicking the groin, fine.
Yeah, right.
Little shin shot. Right. Sure. Right.
Eye gouge.
Little eye gouge.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Fish hook.
Yeah. Oh, I love a good fish hook. I do that to my kid every time she yawns.
It's messed up.
You don't do that?
No.
You don't throw Jax a little fish hook every now and again?
No.
You don't throw one in Rochelle's mouth every now and again? The fish hook I'm talking about. J.J. McCarthy getting surgery. He's going to be out for a little while. Sam Darnold, the starting quarterback. That team went from potentially interesting to me to not interesting at all while Sam Darnold's playing QB. But I did find this funny, and this is why I bring it all up. Sam Darnold making $10 million this year, more than Justin Fields and Russell Wilson combined.
I think Sam Darnold's going to do well.
That's a quarterback-friendly offense.
Yes.
And they do have weapons.
Yep.
They do have weapons. They got Jordan Addison and, well, the big guy.
Yes.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I think he's going to do well. He's gonna pull his Geno Smith this year. There we go.
Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And then he'll be the Steelers' starting quarterback in 2025.
Correct.
By the way, without getting Ayuk, if they don't get Ayuk, Dak's back on the table for 2025.
Honestly.
If you're not paying a receiver 28, you could pay the Dak $60 million.
If you bring this up again, I swear.
We'll ask Ray about Dak Prescott coming up. Tavon Austin retired. And he didn't have the NFL career that you'd like from a top 10 pick, West Virginia guy. He had 344 rushing yards in a game against Oklahoma in college. The all-time leading single-game rusher for West Virginia. He played wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He has, if not the best collegiate highlight tape of all time. You go Reggie Bush, Christian McCaffrey, guys like that. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald had a hell of a college highlight tape, too. But I think he's probably on the Mount Rushmore.
One of the most, if not the most, electrifying college football players I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable talent. And, you know, don't really remember him much in the NFL. He did play 9 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, one of the most electrifying players. Just so much fun to watch.
What do you think I did last night before I went to bed? I watched 15 minutes of Calvin Austin, of Tavon Austin highlights. I didn't even give you time to guess because you already knew.
I already knew.
We got Ray Fittipaldo coming up next.
He probably did something else alongside of that while you're watching, too.
Fish hooked my wife. Coming up next, Ray Fittipaldo on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com today. High 83.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.